It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farad. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, more than 100 people in Wisconsin have been sickened by the foodborne parasite Cyclospora. We'll find out what we know about the outbreak and how we can stay healthy. First, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled 5-4 to uphold President Trump's travel ban. This is the third version of the ban that barred travelers from 8 countries, 6 of which have majority Muslim populations. Here's President Trump reacting to the news earlier today at the White House.
We want a system where when people come in illegally, they have to go out. And a nice, simple system that works. You know, Mexico holds people for 4 hours.
A different clip than we had planned there. Challengers had argued that the ban was unconstitutionally discriminating against travelers based on their religious beliefs, citing Trump's campaign comments calling for a Muslim ban. Kimmy King is a professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back.
Well, in terms of immediate impacts, before we dig into the ruling, what does this mean for people from the countries listed in the proclamation to travel to the United States?
So remember that each of the different countries have different bans put in place. So it depends in part where you're coming from. But say, for example, Iran, one of the ones that we're typically going after, it suspends entry to Iranians as immigrants and non-immigrants. But if you have a valid student and exchange visitor visa, you can enter, but you've got to go through enhanced screening. Whereas like North Korea suspends entry to North Koreans as immigrants and non-immigrants, period, flat, the end. So it's going to mean different things according to what the president set up under the ban as it was revised when it went into its third iteration.
There's a 5-4 vote here. What was the argument from the majority here, Kimmy?
So most people are saying today that the Roberts Court has basically, you know, bowed to presidential power without bowing to President Trump, and that in some ways they've ignored the fact that Trump is the president, because when you look at Roberts' opinion, he casts this in terms of executive authority. And the scholars have pointed out, has correctly pointed out, that the president has broad deference when it comes to immigration. And in fact, Congress has given him even more power under the Immigration and Nationality Act. And so it's really more about the process than it is about the person.
And the minority in the court, a very forceful dissent, I understand, they were coming at this from a different angle.
They are furious. And to read the dissent, and when you read through the dissents, you will see that they are most angry about the majority not focusing in on the statements that President Trump made. Remember, this original travel ban has gone through, it was in its third iteration after having been struck down by lower courts. And so what they point to are all of the statements made by the president fairly early on in the implementation of the travel ban, or an attempt to put it in place, in which he has this very extreme anti-Muslim rhetoric. As a result of the federal court decisions, he had to go back, and they did a 200-country review of who was a threat and who was not. You know, Chad had originally been on the list, and then Chad got taken off. And so the question that the majority said was, well, can we attribute these statements out of the president to the intent behind why the law was created? And the court said, absolutely not. We just look at executive authority and power to do so, and the president has it. So in that sense, they narrowed the ruling, and you see Justice Kennedy and his concurrence, because he was a swing voter. Kennedy makes very clear that we need to be careful about how these things are applied. And so that's almost his way of saying the court will be watching.
It seems like there's two different arguments going on here. The majority says this is an executive authority issue. The minority says this is a religious discrimination issue. Do I have that right?
You absolutely have that right. And welcome to polarization in American politics. There is a way in which there are two different groups of people seeing issues as they are playing themselves out. And we are seeing that now play out inside the institutions as well. Just as people are polarized, the institutions are polarized. You see that in a number of decisions that have come down this term out of the court since Justice Gorsuch has been added.
Now, you mentioned Justice Kennedy saying, okay, yes, you can do this, but be careful about how you do that. Now, does that little caveat there open the door to a potential future challenge, depending on how this is implemented?
Absolutely. And there is a rare court ruling that does not leave open a challenge. And you betcha there are going to be challenges all over the place. But it does leave open because this is, in essence, a facial challenge. That is, on its face, does the law in some way discriminate or target persons for an unlawful reason? And if it's a protected group, like a religious or a group or a minority group, you get a heightened level of scrutiny out of the court. What the court said is that this is just not about discrimination in this context. It's about whether the president has a legit, you know, has shown a legitimate interest. Is there a rational basis? Could he have rationally concluded that putting this ban in place protects the national security interests? And the court, in its 5-4, said yes. And Anthony said, yeah, on its face, but keep an eye out.
Kimmy King is with us, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, talking about the Supreme Court decision on the travel ban. We heard via email from Matt in Wausau. Matt says, every 5-4 ideological decision by the Supreme Court is a blow to democracy. Denying a popular vote winning 2-time president the appointment of a justice flies in the face of majority rule. And Kimmy, on a bigger issue, a lot of people have been talking about this ruling and others. 5-4 majorities might have gone very differently if we had Merrick Garland, Barack Obama's nominee, instead of Neil Gorsuch.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that your caller is picking up on is the fact that as much as people are talking about this as a Trump victory, it is fundamentally a McConnell victory. And the ability of McConnell to hold the line on that Gorsuch appointment has been absolutely critical, whether you're looking at gerrymandering cases or travel bans. So it will be curious to see how this plays itself out. I would be, you know, remiss if I didn't point out that there's much scuttlebutt today that Kennedy will step down at the end of this term. And so while Kennedy has been a moderate swing voter, he doesn't always go the way the liberals like, nor the way the conservatives like. It's going to be a dogfight on the appointment over Kennedy.
Right. People have been pointing toward a fairly serene approval process for Neil Gorsuch as these things go, and wondering, hey, do Democrats, after seeing the outcome of Gorsuch on the court, do they put up a bigger fight to, this is all hypothetical, Justice Kennedy's still there, but to Justice Kennedy's successor?
Oh, yeah. And there's just going to continue to be fights no matter what. Kennedy would not. I mean, we'll see what happens with Kennedy, whether he would resign before the midterms. And that would throw everything off because then, of course, the midterm results would come into play. It will be interesting to see what happens as we move through the summer with the primaries because increasingly everything has become a political polarization and everything has become imbued with this political rhetoric and hype with everyone being so attached to their political preferences.
We've talked about this before a little bit, Kimmy. Do the courts have an outsized role in our politics? Is that the biggest issue now when people are voting, especially for a U.S. senator and president, of course? What's going to happen in the courts?
I think that they're absolutely staking much more on the line, but I would argue that that's been going on since the 1980s and that we saw with a number of the appointments by Ronald Reagan when he pushed harder for ideology litmus tests that you started to see ideology play itself out more. Don't forget that Chief Justice John Roberts, one of the reasons why he was considered to be a favorite to become a Chief Justice by Bush is because he was thought to promote presidential authority, that if you look at some of his lower court rulings, he was in favor of presidential authority. And so that, I think, is another thing to keep in mind as you look at these Supreme Court appointments.
Has that gone both ways? Is a court justice deferential to presidential authority, deferential whether it's a Republican who appointed them or a Democrat who didn't?
It's interesting because every single justice is different and justices will vacillate over the course of their lifetime, right? One of the things that's curious about what Chief Justice John Roberts said regarding the Trump travel ban is he made it very clear that this was in no way a determination about, quote, the soundness of the policy, which most people are interpreting that as his slap on, look, I'm giving you the presidential power, but let's be clear, I'm not so sure that you're using it the right way. And so over time, there is some indication that there are some justices who back off of some of their opinions. So we'll see what happens with Roberts. Don't forget, he's the one who voted to allow Obamacare to be upheld. And it's for that reason that it was allowed to go forward under the Obama administration, thanks to Chief Justice John Roberts.
Does this court ruling empower the president and the White House on whatever their next step might be on an immigration issue?
I think the real question is there anything that doesn't empower the Trump White House? I think that there is no doubt today that in a series of rulings, that whether you're looking at the gerrymander in Texas or you're looking at the pro-life, anti-choice, however you want to view it, decision out in California, or you're looking at the Trump travel ban, that there are going to continue to be these moments of claimed victory that definitely indicate that the courts are allowing part of President Trump's agenda to go forward.
We'll leave it there. Kimmy, thanks for joining us today.
You betcha. Take care. Love Public Radio.
That's Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas. She was with us to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision released today to uphold President Trump's travel ban, the third version of that ban. A 5-4 conservative majority ruled with the White House on this one.